I used to gamble, now I'm broke, but I'm gonna write a new joke.
A new joke!
Welcome to I Quit Gambling, So I Started a Podcast, hosted by comedian Benny Legg. That's me. And joining me, as always, is the man who needs no introduction. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, man? Can you see the moon tonight? It's beautiful.
It's
holy cow.
Is it beautiful? I haven't been outside, but...
Yeah. I think you're looking at the same moon. If you look up, it's beautiful tonight.
That's the great part. If I went outside and looked at the moon and you looked at the moon right now, we'd both be looking at the same thing while doing...
It'd be like a Celine Dion song.
It'd be so romantic.
Yeah.
One day. Well, we're going to have to do that, for sure. A little candlelight.
Candlelight. Moonlight. Oh, maybe some crab legs. That'd be wonderful. So how you been, man? What's going down?
Good, man. Super excited for today's show. We're trying something a little different. Later on, I'm going to be joined by comedian Johnny Brim.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy that I met out here in the comedy scene. Super honest guy, super funny guy. And I wanted to just talk to him about comedy and the stuff that he's got going on and how he approaches jokes. And we did a real fun interview. So I'm excited to play that for the people later, you know?
Is he a fan of Einstein?
He mentioned, it's funny that you said that, but he did bring up Einstein, which for me was, yeah, that for me, I'm like, geez, I wish you were there, you know? But.
Right.
So those of you newer to the show, the man who needs no introduction is a truck driver. He's driving across the country. So where are you driving today, buddy?
I am heading down to Maryland today, state of Maryland.
To get the crab legs?
What's that?
I wish I could get
crab legs. No. I think I got something frozen on here today. Something cold and frozen.
In the truck?
In the truck.
Do you think we should? Let's bring that back. Why don't we bring that back?
You want to?
Yeah. What the fuck is in the truck? Yeah, we'll play that game. Let me hit the music. I'm going to play the music right now. We'll get into it.
All right. Sounds great.
What the fuck is in the truck? What's in the truck? What the fuck is in the truck? What's in the truck? What the fuck is in the truck? What's in the truck?
Hi, Benny. So you remember the rules, right?
What? Explain real quick. How many guesses do I get here?
You get three guesses.
Okay. And you're going to give me three hints?
I'm going to give you three hints.
Okay. All right. I'm ready. That's it. Let's do it.
First hint. You have eaten this before.
Ice cream.
No.
No. Okay. All right.
It is very foul.
Chicken.
What kind of chicken?
Frozen chicken.
What kind of frozen chicken?
Tenders.
No. But I'll give you a hint. You are this. You're very this a lot after you smoke weed.
Happy chicken.
Happy chicken. I'm going to give it to you. Crispy. Crispy was the answer I was looking for.
All right.
Crispy. Chicken patties.
Yes. Oh, patties. Ew, that sounds disgusting.
Sorry, man. But they are. I don't make shit. I just haul it.
How many pounds? How many pounds of chicken patties are in that truck right now? Are you aware? Do you have a number?
I'm exactly aware of how many.
Okay, well,
How many do you think?
All right. Big truck, thing of chicken
big
patties.
Truck.
Figure each chicken patties. Each bag is 6 pounds.
Pretty good.
You got 60,000 pounds of chicken patties.
No, that'd be half of that, sir. 32,000 pounds of chicken patties.
Incredible. You're responsible for feeding the... You're a truck... Tell people. Go ahead. You love to tell people what it's like. Just tell them what it's like driving across the country. You got driving... Go ahead. Just tell everybody.
I absolutely just love it, man. It's like a great gig. I get home to see Marla, you know, at least once a week. I'm home most weekends. But driving across country, I mean, I'm listening to great novels. Right now, I'm listening to a Stephen King short story novel. I'm loving it. I listen to music. I create music. I'm still writing stuff. I'm writing a screenplay right now for a short film that I can't wait to put out. It's going to be a good one. Oh. I'm excited.
Well, may I ask, can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay, yeah. Well, what's the what kind of screenplay are we talking here?
I'm basically just two people on screen. A young kid gets pulled over by a police officer on a backcountry road. The police officer is coming in from, let's say, Philadelphia. He's on vacation. He's going to his place out in the woods. And this young kid is kind of like giving him a hard time for driving slow. So the cop decides to be a total prick to him. Just an absolute total prick to try to teach him a lesson.
So it's an action film? Action?
It's more tense. It's more of somebody just having complete control of somebody's state. You know what I mean? Like, the cop, like, when he asks him to get out of the car and stuff like that, like, the cop throws a gun at him. And the kid just catches it. Now he has his fingerprints on this gun. Because this cop is like a detective, a narcotics detective in Philadelphia. So he knows how to plant shit. And he's like telling this kid, now you're fucked. Now you got a gun. Now I'm going to search your car. I'm sure I'm going to find drugs in it. Now you're going to jail forever. You know, and this kid's just doing his thing.
Do you have a name picked out for the screenplay yet?
Why don't we get back to that after the interview?
You know what? Okay. Yeah, a little teaser. I like that. I like it. Yeah. Okay, a little teaser.
God knows I might change it by the time it's over.
So I'm going to play this right now. This is Johnny Brim. He's a comedian out here in Las Vegas. He has a YouTube thing called Fuck It, I Quit. If you go to YouTube, just search Johnny Brim. And he's super honest in it. And what really drew me to him, he's doing this whole thing about quitting. The first thing's about quitting his job. And just the fact that he quit stuff and I quit gambling, I thought it was an interesting transition and conversation. So this is the first interview I've done on this. I'm super excited to present to everybody. Here it is. And when we're done, we're going to find out the name of that screenplay. I'm super excited for that as well. So,
be as loud as you want. Do whatever the fuck you want. Don't hesitate. Whatever the fuck you want to do.
I got a problem with being loud.
I've heard. No? All right. So joining me right now, first time I've ever had a guest in this studio, this beautiful studio.
Beautiful. I love it. I like the vinyl collection for sure.
Thank you. Yeah. Came with it. Yeah. But joining me is comedian Johnny Brim, and this guy, one of the good guys, one of the guys that I've found myself interacting with, talking with, and we hit it off, and I invited him over, and I'm nervous. This is like a first date for me, Johnny. This is seriously, man. Seriously, I'm nervous. But welcome to the I Quit Gambling, So I Start a Podcast Studio and Show, man. Thank you.
Woo. This is a great show. I'm excited for you to have me. Like, we talk a lot. I fuck with you, you know? And that's what I like to say. I fuck with you. I got your back. You know, we've always been nice with each other. So when you invited me on, I was just super excited to be on. I was like, hell yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. This is going to be great because you've been working on this YouTube series. Fuck It, I Quit.
Yeah.
So I quit gambling 8 months ago. Mm-hmm. On July 4th was 8 months.
Nice.
Yeah, there was fireworks. I don't know if you
saw. Yeah.
So to me, I quit something. And it's weird. Like, I looked at the stats, and it says 15% of Americans gamble every week. And, 6% are problem gamblers.
Mm.
So I quit something that only 15% of the country does. You know what I mean? So it's not that big of a deal.
You're a special breed.
Right. But every time I say it on stage, people clap. So it's fucking great. But what made you come up with this YouTube series idea? What are you doing with it? Explain a little bit.
I think that the main motivating factor behind creating my YouTube series was for me to process what I've been going through. Because I've got a fucked up childhood. I've got a couple of fucked up stories that I've been through, that I've overcome, or that I've just been through. I don't want to say overcome. That sounds cheesy as shit. But things that I've been through. You know, like when they say life hands you a lemon, I feel like life handed me a shit sandwich, not a lemon. You know, maybe with a side of lemon. A shit sandwich with a side of lemon.
Sour shit sandwich.
Exactly. That bitter goes down. But despite that, I am where I am, you know. But I think that I went through life without fully acknowledging the stuff that I've been through. I started going to therapy prior to quitting my job, and I got diagnosed with PTSD, maybe close to what is CPTSD, which is a little bit more critical of a diagnosis of PTSD. But it stems from my childhood and the shit sandwich that I ate throughout childhood.
Wow.
And not dealing with that and not acknowledging that and not being aware, just burying it inside. I used to describe myself like the Hulk, where it's like, what's your secret? I'm just always angry. Like, what the hell? You know, because of all this stuff. And that's a little deep and whatnot. But I at my job, I was experiencing similar treatment as I did when I was a child and throughout my life. And it was just this moment, like lightning striking in my mental, going, I'm not taking this anymore. I don't deserve to be treated like this anymore. What did I do to be treated in this way? You know, and instead of being rational with my actions and an adult, it's called getting triggered or getting pinged, you know? And I honestly felt like a metal baseball bat hit a metal pole in my mental. And I just heard, woo, like that. And I was like, mm-hmm.
Now I watched the video. You had a big thing with your boss. Is that what it was? Yeah. Your boss was like just
huge
the worst
piece of shit person.
Really? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Treated me the worst. And it was that I felt that storm coming and I got triggered, got pinged. And I said, fuck it. I can't take that anymore. So I went downstairs and said, fuck it. I quit. I can't do that. And they go, they asked me why am I quitting? And I gave them a laundry list as to why I'm quitting. And yeah, that's it.
You know, what I appreciate the most about you is your honesty. Mm-hmm. And that I think that's why we connect, because all the time, you know, just be honest with people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Say what you got to say. Everybody's going through shit. Everybody's done shit. Everybody, just be honest. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you're not afraid to talk about it. And that's what I love about you. You're an honest, genuine person. Your comedy is fucking. let's talk a little bit, people, about your comedy approach.
Okay. All right.
Your energy, man. You have an energy on stage where it's just the room is just like, oh my God, Johnny's on stage. First off, everybody's going to hear you no matter what.
Yeah, for sure.
No matter
I'm going to make sure of that.
So, but everybody wants to see you too, which is the great part.
Oh,
so
man,
what,
I appreciate that.
Like, how did you, like, your comedy approach, just tell everybody a little bit about it.
I like to consider myself a student, first and foremost. So I'm constantly trying to learn and research and figure out what comics are talking about as to this art of comedy. And I feel like I have a lot of stories to tell. So being that I have a lot of stories to tell and learning the art form of comedy, that is an art form that does take work. It does take very much consideration in the words and how you're putting them together, right? And so learning that, and I don't think there's a special formula. I think all of our voices are unique. So that formula would be unique to us as individuals. There's a formula for me. There's a formula for you, but we're not the same formula, kind of, if that makes kind of sense. It
makes perfect sense.
So when I find my story and I go, this is the story of what happened to me. This is the story of my dad, my stepdad becoming it's a literal story based out of real life where I got told that my stepdad is not my biological father. He is my stepdad. And I was very young when this got told to me. That's pretty fucked up. You don't do that to a kid. And, you know, and I remember how crushing that was as a kid. And so going back and thinking about my life and thinking about these stories that could be dark, that are heavy, impactful in my life, and learning that I'm not as affected by that in a painful way anymore. That's just a fact of my life. A fact of my life is my mom told me at a young age that my stepdad is my stepdad, not my biological dad. Emotions are removed. Therefore, I want to talk about this in a funny way. And that's where I came up with my joke, no soy tu papa, Jonathan, because my stepdad would tell me, I'm not your dad, John. And it's like, it's kind of fucked up when you think about it, but it's funny as shit. And
that's the great thing about comedy. A lot of it is kind of fucked up if you think about it, but it's funny as shit.
We
you
make it
I mean?
Funny.
Exactly.
Right? Shit's going to happen.
Shit's going to happen. And it's what you make with you make the best of it.
Exactly.
And you know what? You have your sucky moments, but then when you're out there and you're doing your shit and you're feeling good about it, you know what I mean? Who cares about sucky moments?
There is no more sucky moments
exactly.
Now. What sucky moment do I have? No sucky moments. Now I have gold. Now I have
gold, right?
A treasure chest. Yes, of funny shit, like dark shit, but I'll use this and I will paint this story to be as funny as possible to help me feel better about it and help other people feel better about it, because we're all dealing with something. But it's no longer shit. It's gold in a treasure chest ready for me to just dive in there.
It's all gold for at least a week. For at least a week, it's gold.
Gold, gold and shit rots after a while.
Yeah, yeah. Then you go, you find new gold, but then once again, you know,
it'll get
you
cold.
Yeah, one out of every 10 golds, they work out. You know?
And my style of humor is very energetic, very absurd. I this is based off of the philosophy, and I'm really blanking right now as to who said it. I feel like it's Albert Einstein, but it's the philosophy of...
let me just stop you right there.
Go ahead.
Albert Einstein on this show, the guy that normally does this with me, he would love that. But me... Albert Einstein.
Over the head.
Whoa, okay. All right. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
No, no problem. But I hope I don't get it wrong now, since your boy, you know, fucks with Einstein. But I think it was Einstein who said, to prove that you understand something, you should be able to explain it simply. And I feel like that's a good thing with my comedy, where I understand to a certain extent, and I'm still learning and I'm still growing and I'm open to different opinions, because that's how I feel that people learn and grow. But I feel like I understand a little social economics, you know, and that's why, and I definitely understand being born and raised in Vegas, the culture of homophobia that used to be Vegas, right, but has since transitioned to a welcoming and opening of that, of the LGBTQ community. Where I feel that change in myself as well. Where I grew up a huge homophobic person because of my surroundings. That's why I come up with a joke about my stepdad, because he was a huge homophobic person. And it just started to not make sense to me. Why do you care?
Right. Yeah.
Why do you fucking care what people are doing? What does it have to do with you? And because I've processed that so much of, I don't understand why you're homophobic, I feel like I can explain it simply as to why people are homophobic.
Right.
And use my comedy to be an abstract, absurd painting of that understanding.
Because you've seen it in two different point of views, and I feel the only way you learn stuff like that is getting older. You get older, mm-hmm. you age, and life happens, and you realize, why did I care about that shit when I was 15 years old?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I totally get that. That makes a lot of sense. Man. Now, back to your comedy. You're one of the things that you do that I laugh literally every single time is is, what's your favorite color basketball? Like, just what's your favorite color basketball? That's it.
Yeah.
That's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Just you know, talk a little bit about how you came up with or what you just. Talk a little about that. What's your favorite color basketball?
That's probably my favorite joke that I have right now. Because of the amount of absurdity that is within just one sentence of, what's your favorite color basketball?
So stupid.
It is so obnoxious.
It's great.
There's a lot of different reasons that how I came up to with this joke, with this particular sentence. And I've had a lot of comedians come up to me and ask me how I've come up with this particular sentence. I've had comics come up to me and tell me that they've written a page or two thinking out loud of how I came up with this sentence. And I'm like, that blows my mind. Like a lot of people fuck with this sentence. And I think that holds weight a little bit. I feel like the real origin of the joke is not the best, origin to the joke, but it's the truth on how I came up with it. I was searching for a childlike approach to comedy. Okay. Because I think simply. So if I can think simply, who thinks the simplest? Children. Okay? So I have two children, 6 and 5. We're constantly in communication. We're constantly talking. And if I'm not talking, they're talking. And when they're talking to their friends, I begin to watch this and this interaction, because I'm trying to learn how to interact with humans in an adult level. But I'm trying to watch these children interact in a children level. And what if I bridge that gap? That would be absurdity. That would be obnoxious. And something that children do is ask a million questions in a million seconds. What's your favorite color basketball? What are you watching on Netflix? What are you watching on Hulu? What do you do? Why are they asking all these questions? Just because they want to be your friend.
Right.
Immediately. A kid meets a kid. And they immediately want to be friends. So what do people do when they're trying to be friends? They ask a million questions. Why? I'm kind of interested in you. I want to ask you some questions. Why would I do that if I don't care or whatever. The reason I'm doing this is because I want to be your friend. It's a joke about friendships or relationships forming. It's a joke about that. But then painted with absurdity and abstract like I like to do. Where it's I perform at Dive regularly. The Dive Bar, Monday nights, okay. Just Effing Comedy. I perform there regularly. That is one of the hardest rooms to perform in Las Vegas
right now. It's tough. It's a biker crowd. It's different.
It's a bunch of jerk-offs in the back, but you shouldn't be shy of these things.
Yeah.
I welcome it because I'm going to learn about myself, and especially because that's been my experience, now I justify that thought. I had that thought before I had the experience, but then because I experienced that at Dive Bar where it's like, oh, shit, this is very much challenging.
Yeah.
But because I don't shy away from that, I feel like it helps. It definitely has helped me. It might not help everybody, right? Everybody's different. But for me, it helped me so much. And I would literally put myself into panic attack mode, stress, anxiety mode, immediately, level 100. My back is against the wall. I feel like I'm fighting these people, but it's words. And they're going, you suck, bitch. Like, pussy, like, shouting all this shit out. Get the fuck off the stage. And it's like, you're in a verbal sparring match with these people. So what do? When you're in this type of thing and you're either going to try to attack them or you try to figure out your voice of cleverness to hopefully win them over and shut them down somehow. You know, that is not an attack. Calling them a bitch or a pussy or something like that, that's not very clever. So how could I win them over or... You know what I mean? Like, how could I get their attention and make them want to shut up? And so that's when I went into panic attack mode. My back's against the wall. Let me do something, something, something. And that's when it just kind of clicked for me where I wanted to do the cascade of questions, the rapid fire. What do you want? Netflix, Hulu, Twitter? Bah, 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 bah. And just because I felt like we were fighting.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I've taken enough punches. Now I'm just going to bah, 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 as much as I can. What the fuck is going on? Da, 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 da. And so I just question start going. Question. Yes, question. And question. Then I'm asking, you know, Netflix, Hulu, HBO, and my back is against the wall and I'm punching. But then I start to notice that as if it was a boxing match, their arms go down. Their knees start to buckle.
Your head.
I'm like, what the hell? I'm getting them. I'm doing what I wanted to do. And I go, this is funny. What is the most awkward, uncomfortable thing I can think of to sweep it under their feet? For some reason, why do I want that? But I feel like, you know, talking social economics makes anybody, especially white people, very uncomfortable immediately. And I have a different upbringing and a different background. So I have a different approach with social economics and racist issues and, you know, those types of issues.
Right.
So I go, what is the most obnoxious thing I could think of? And I was thinking of, what's your favorite color? And I couldn't think of something funny because it's not an intention of being rude. It's an intention of calling it out. Of how uncomfortable can you be made to feel because of your beliefs? Something like that.
Right.
And so I go, what's your favorite color? Basketball. Boom. Drop it right there. And a comic was walking, the host of the show was walking, well, guest host of the show was walking from one point of the bar to the other point of the bar. And as he reaches in the middle of me, as we reach intersections, like I'm a sniper, and he comes in range of my headshot kill, he writes there, what's your favorite color basketball? Bah! Got him. And he throws his hands up and he's like, what the fuck did I just witness right now? And boom, popped him. Everybody started dying and rolling.
What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color basketball?
That's simple.
That simple.
That's
And it's my energy behind it too. And it's exactly. the build up to it, I've tried so many different iterations of it. Where I come up on stage, hey, give it up for Johnny Brim. All right, what's your favorite color basketball? Boo. Okay, right. Not there.
Okay, not today. You know? Not, like, maybe
not,
baseball?
Not right up front. Yeah, like just figuring out, like, I have to build a certain energy to deliver this line. I just can't come up there cold and go give this line.
Right.
No, this is one of my best punches, and you don't come out exactly, you know, your right hook right off the bat or something like that. You build up to that combination, boom, kind of. I don't know why I'm using boxing analogies. I'm not a big boxer. A lot of punching,
which is good. Which is good for audio. It's
good. Boom, 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 pow, ka, ka, ka.
Just don't break anything in this beautiful studio. That's all I ask. But okay, so what's your favorite? So do you mind just hit us with the most energy you could get right now at this very moment in this early morning, early for me. Just hit us with it one time. And yeah.
What's your favorite color basketball?
Now, we do a lot of lists on this show. So what's your favorite color basketball? You mind if I share with you my top five favorite colored basketballs?
Yeah. All right?
So first off, would be blue. Like one of the ones you find old school Walmart, you know, maybe like $5. It's not the best brand. It doesn't bounce that much.
Yeah.
But blue. I like blue. Blue's a good color. Four. Green.
Green.
Green. A good green basketball. And the thing is, the thing with the green, if it lands in the grass, sometimes you lose it. But green, and it's weird because I always thought blue was, I like blue better than green.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you've approached me with this question, I've realized I like green better than blue.
Oh. Yeah. It's very inviting to pursue yourself.
Honestly, the only reason I invited you over here was so I could get this off my chest. Yeah, seriously. Number three would be the red, white, and blue.
Yep.
That combination. That's a good one. The USA basketball. That's always, you know, always good to support your country. Yeah. Support the troops, always.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. Two would be orange, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Orange, just the classic, right? Easy. Yeah. You can find it anywhere. Yeah. Really? You really could. And number one would be imaginary.
Imaginary.
Would be my favorite color basketball. And let me explain a little bit to that point. You see, my neighbor has this kid, right? Has this kid, 5-year-old kid. And he bounces the ball. He loves to play basketball outside during the day. I stay up all night. I sleep all day. He's bouncing the ball on the pavement all day long, not taking shots, right? And I can't sleep. And the other day, I got fed up with it. So I go outside, and I approach him. And I say, Tommy, his name, Tommy, little kid, 5-year-old Tommy. I said, Tommy, can you not dribble so much? Can you just shoot the ball? Please, that's it, you know? And he stops me, and he goes, well, if I don't dribble, Dino calls me for traveling. And, you know, I'm real quick, 5-year-old kid, I play along. Well, okay, well, who is Dino?
Yeah.
And that's when he explains to me this is his imaginary friend that he's playing basketball with, okay?
Yeah.
So I challenge him and Dino to a game of basketball. And I say, if I win, they can't dribble no more. And little Tommy looks at me and goes, well, that's not fair because it'd be 2-on-1. Do you want to call one of your friends to come play, and then it'll be a fair game? And that's why I just explained to him. First off, I don't have any friends, all right? And second off, all my imaginary ones grew up to have major gambling problems. So they may have given a bet on it, but who knows. So what I did was I convinced him to play, but we had to use an imaginary ball, right? So I give Tommy the ball first, and I'm standing on the left side of Tommy. And Tommy goes, why are you standing there? And I'm like, well, I'm guarding Dino. And he's like, well, Dino's on the other side. So I play along. I move to the other side. The game starts. What's Tommy do? Passes the ball to the side I was originally standing on, where Dino actually was. Then Dino takes the shot. It goes in. Well, according to Tommy, at least. So I'm pissed off because the 5-year-old tricked me. So I punt the imaginary basketball.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And Johnny, honest to God, I've never punted anything so far in my life. That thing flew past the sun, right? So Tommy starts crying, and he runs in the house. So then I took the real ball and brought it inside my house so Tommy couldn't play with it anymore. An hour later, his parents come knocking on the door.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. They go, what happened to the basketball? So I blamed it on Dino.
That's the game.
the imaginary friend if you weren't keeping the law. There it is. Top five. Invisible. That's
my favorite one.
So favorite color basketball.
That shit's...
You got anything going on? You got anything you want to plug? You got anything you want to say? You got any?
I got the YouTube channel, Johnny Brim. I got the Fuck It, I Quit, my job series that is just finishing up today. I know it's a long series. I had a lot that I wanted to get off my chest, and I just didn't want to release such a long video, you know, for my first go at it. I chopped it up into 6 parts, so that 6 part is done. The next series that I'm going to do is called Fuck It, I Quit, The Church.
Okay.
I used to be a part of a church. I was studying to become a pastor, and I quit that. I quit going to that church 6 or 7 years ago, and so I'm going to tell my story on why I quit the church and my experiences with the church and whatnot. And so I got that going on. I got a Facebook page, Johnny Brim. If you want to give it a like, that's cool. Follow me on Instagram. I'm going to start doing silly skit videos on Instagram.
Nice.
Little characters here and there. I got this weird character that I'm working on called Jay Ray right now. And it's just a weird, obnoxious, absurd character.
More obnoxious.
Oh, soup, like turned up. Like, and because it's a character, so it's even obnoxious. You can't understand some of the words and thoughts that he's saying. But he's going to rehab right now because he crashed into a pole.
Oh, no.
Because he was eating hot glue. So it's thought provoking, man.
Hot glue. Not just glue.
Yeah, hot.
Oh my goodness.
So
where can they put, what's your tag on Instagram?
Johnny R. Brim. Okay. Don't forget the R. All
right. Excellent.
Because I'm rated R.
People are gonna enjoy this so much. People are gonna enjoy you as a person. They need to see you on perform. Because you have to see Johnny perform at least once before you die. That's it. That's the bottom line.
That.
Seriously. It's energetic, it's fun, it's funny.
Thanks.
And it's just to watch. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
I really do.
Thank you for the compliment. Yeah, man. That means a lot.
Seriously.
Appreciate that.
Let's wrap it up. What do you say?
Sweet deal.
All right.
Yeah.
Bro.
Woohoo.
Thank you, man. That was fucking good.
Thanks for having me.
Really good. All right. Back here with the man who needs no introduction. And I can't wait any longer.
Good to have you, man.
Thank you.
I think you enjoyed doing that.
It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun.
He seems like a real interesting dude too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just love that he's so honest with everything. That's what makes it fun to hear his story, you know?
Yeah, man. Because every time I'm honest, you just edit me. You just cut me.
Did I not tell you? Did I not mention to you?
What happened?
The editing button is gone. You could say whatever you want, and I'll react accordingly. I didn't mention that to you. How did I forget to mention that to you?
Shit.
No, I'm telling. I will just react accordingly. It's fine. There's no more. You are.
What brought this change on?
Did I not mention that to you? I thought I mentioned that. No.
No, because I'm not in any segments anymore. I got little pieces now. That's it. I got little pieces.
You can say whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Bullshit.
What's the name of the screenplay?
The working title of the screenplay is That Will Teach You.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a role in it, correct?
I don't know how you'd ever get out there. I would love to have you in it. I would love to have you in it, but I don't think you're going to. I do not believe that you would, A, be capable of getting to Millville, Pennsylvania, and B, that you would actually even want to do it.
I'd want to do it if you came here. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So we're going to change it to Las Vegas. Change the whole entire country pumpkin type of skit. And turning into that sounds about right.
Hey, a couple episodes we were gonna do a thing where you gave me a movie to watch, and I was supposed to watch it. Yeah, I was supposed to watch it, and I was supposed to give a review on it on the show.
Yeah, what'd you think of The Prestige, man?
The Prestige. You told me to watch The Prestige.
Yeah.
And I have my review.
I'm dying to hear it.
All right. It needs to be on something that is free to watch, because I didn't watch it.
Oh my god, really?
I'm not gonna pay. Just give me a Netflix movie. Give me a Netflix movie. The first Netflix movie that comes to your mind right now, and we'll try this again next week. I'll watch that movie. I'll review it as long as it's free.
don't know. I really haven't watched anything on Netflix in a while. Nah, yeah, okay. I know what I want you to review. Big Mouth. One episode of Big Mouth.
All right. Any season in particular?
I honestly, I think the first one just sets it all up.
The very first episode of Big Mouth.
I think that you'll. I mean, it gets better as it goes, but the first one comes right out of the gate. And I think any fan out there of So I Cook Better Than So I Started a Podcast will absolutely, if they're like, yeah, Big Mouth's the shit.
All right, I'll check it out. And on next week's show, because we definitely do things according to plan here, I will.
Oh, yeah, oh my God, we're right on point.
I will have a review of Big Mouth.
I can't wait.
What do you say we update the counter?
Let's do it, man.
We're currently at 23 episodes without gambling. And I want to update that counter right now to 24 episodes without gambling. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter at Benny Lake Wins. Follow the show at Benny Lake Laughs. Make sure to leave us a nice review on Apple Podcast. Follow us on Instagram. Well, follow me on Instagram. Just search Benny Lake. And I think that covers it. Not too much of a shill there, right? That was pretty good. Brief.
You know how I feel about it.
I know it's your favorite part of the show.
Favorite part. You being a whore. Love it.
All right, show's over. Boom.